And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We got our wall of female listeners up on the Phil Hendry Show website. Just send us a picture of you holding a picture of me. This is just for our female listeners because women listen too. And I say that because we are obviously a program in many ways. Well, I don't want to say it's obvious. I think in many ways, for some reason, it attracts men rather than women because it's a tad scatologically rude. I don't know what the problem seems to be. Maybe it's just it's sophomoric. But in any event, we have an inordinate number of men listening to the program, which is fine. We've got no problem with that. But we do have women listening from time to time. So we posted the wall of female listeners as a way of letting you know and letting us know. More importantly, just reminding us that occasionally there's a woman tuning in. And we will put your picture up here on the wall of female listeners. What we need, though, is a picture of you holding a picture of me, because we don't want any of you guys playing it cute, like guys cutting a picture out of a woman, you know, in a bra and Cosmopolitan and sending it in. So, yeah, we're on to you. And actually, a listener of ours, Kim, sent us a picture of herself holding a picture of me. And we thought, well, that's a good idea. So from now on, all the pictures of the women that are going to be posted on the wall of female listeners, we'll have them holding a picture of me, except for my wife, Maria, who was featured prominently this week on the wall of female listeners. She's listener number one, and there she is at her birthday party. So if you want to get a look at Maria, she's on our wall of female listeners today. We've got a couple of new pictures. One is of Kim. There's another nice one of Andrea. And, of course, there's a picture of Kim holding a picture of me and then my wife, Maria. So, you know, they come in dribs and drabs, if you'll pardon the expression. They come in from time to time. Also, the guest, the celebrity ass, this week, the audience has been stumped yet again. When I say yet again, you guys have been correct 5 out of 9 weeks. So that's really not a very bad average at all. But, however, this week, our featured celebrity was Stephanie Seymour, and you guys blew it. So check in again on Monday for another celebrity ass. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Our website is philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You can hear all the quality audio from our program, our audio archives, our 30-day archive, listen live, all kinds of marvelous things, including our souvenir shop where you can pick up today and tomorrow and however long they last. And let me tell you something, they're going fast, the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. The Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt we have in small, medium, large, extra large, and double extra large. And as I had mentioned to you guys before, I'd gone to Debbie, and I said, we need to get extra, extra larges. Oh, come on. What are you talking about, Phil? Those are for, like, cows. Those are for the only, you throw that on top of some guy that needs to be cut out of a house. I said, trust me. We got to get extra, extra large shirts. Well, guess what? We threw them up there, and we sell them out. Constantly, we are reordering the extra, extra larges. And the number one guy who has to keep reordering them is me. Actually, I have an extra large. I do not have an extra, extra large. I got an extra large Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, which I wore to work yesterday. And, Craig, you might be a witness to this, Chris, Janice. It looked way too small. I mean, the gut just hanging out. The shirt was, the armpits are coming apart. You know, my rear end is hanging out. All wrong. Way too small. So get that double extra large. If you look in the mirror and you go, yeah, it's going to be another lonely summer, just get an extra, extra large. Forget it, Charlie. It's only $80. My wife said to me, why don't you tell people how much they are? Are you embarrassed by that price? No, I'm not embarrassed at all. It's worth it. It's high quality. It won't be falling apart in the rear end or wherever. You know, it's going to look nice. It's not going to become a hospital gown on you, splitting up the back. It's a beautiful thing. It's in royal blue and black with the Teds of Beverly Hills insignia on the back. And when you put that thing on, people will automatically say, that's great. And then move on to another topic of conversation. No, you'll put it on and they'll say, look at that bowling shirt. They're very hip. And where is Teds of Beverly Hills? And you can play any kind of a mind game on them you want. I don't care. $79, $8 shipping and handling. The orders are shipped within 2 to 4 weeks. I don't know how much more information I can give you, but I think that's I'm being very precise. So get that Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. You won't regret it. Also, while you're on our website, pick up our Best of the Year 2001 CD. All the money from the sale of our CD goes to My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And that we've been, you know, sending money to them, and we've been benefiting them, and we've had a wonderful relationship with them for the last 5, 6 years. And they have done wonderful things with the money that you guys have donated, like over a half a million dollars. They got a new resource center for the kids. I mean, they're doing some super stuff. So thank you for your donations to our website with the Bring It CD, the 2001 CD. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number. Just a little swallow update at my house. As you know, I've had these cliff swallows. Now, I found out that they were cliff swallows, not mud swallows, because I made the mistake. And I shouldn't say I made the mistake. I actually, I just wrote an ornithologist that I found online. An ornithologist, a bird guy. And I wrote the guy a letter. I said, "Dear Dr. Schmo," or whatever his name was, up at the University of California at Broken Whistle, "can you help me? We have swallows crapping all over the yard. They are making mincemeat out of my house. They're just turning everything. It's an embarrassment. I'm embarrassed to be seen in my own home with bird crap dripping down, you know, dripping down the side of it. What can I do? Please help me, doctor." And the guy sends me back this thing: "If you harm one feather on those birds, it's against federal law." And I should have known the guy's going to be fully down with the cliff swallows, and he don't know me from Daffy Duck. He doesn't know me from another cliff swallow. A quiff swallow. So he said, "Don't you dare touch those birds. You will be in violation of federal law. They'll throw the key away on you." Next year, however, Mr. Hendry, if you really care, and I don't know whether you do or not, and I'm not sure I even want to know you, you can put up a piece of wire mesh along the side of the house, and that will block them from their nesting area. But as far as this year goes, you're just going to have to live in the bird crap and like it. And my wife, because Maria, she comes running out of the house. "We got a letter." "From who?" "From a guy." "Well, what is it?" "He says we're in violation of federal law." "What? Who?" "The doctor from the thing." Let me look. And it just kind of bothered me. So now I want to go out there with a slingshot and just start. See, the more letters like that I get, the more violent I get. The more letters like that I get, the more I want to violate federal law. Look, I don't want to do anything bad, but the birds, you know, I don't dig them, okay? Now, what's going to happen? Is a guy in the wildlife police going to pull up and actually throw me in handcuffs and put me in the bed of the truck? Is he going to tie me down with the very wire mesh I want to use to keep the birds out from putting their little mud nests out? What is going to happen? I get fined? I don't want to talk out of school, but it's early in the show, so why not? A girlfriend of mine, an ex-girlfriend of mine, her father got thrown in a can for violating environmental law. Her father, let me repeat this, her father got thrown in the can for violating federal law. What happened was, he shot one of these birds, and the bird pressed charges. The whole swallow colony filed a civil lawsuit. I'm kidding. What he did was, he was dumping crap out in Arizona. He was, basically what he was doing is he was cleaning up toxic materials, turning it into a solid, and then dumping it over the state line in Arizona. At least this was what he was convicted of doing. And he said to the judge, and I can understand why he said, he said, "Well, I didn't know dumping crap in Arizona was against the law. I thought that was okay to do that, because just go into Arizona." And the judge wasn't amused. So anyway, they threw him away for, like, I think he did like a year up in Lompoc. You know, a respectable guy, a respectable businessman. So just watch where you're dumping your stuff. And if you're a bird flying around my house, watch it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
It's kind of sad. Lisa Left Eye Lopes, the effervescent, sometimes volatile member of the Grammy-winning trio TLC. I don't know how many of you are familiar with TLC. They were really a terrific group. She was killed in a car crash while she was on a humanitarian visit to Honduras. One of the comments made here, I guess by officials investigating the crash, they said that the car rolled and they still don't know why, according to a police spokesman. If you've ever driven in the Caribbean, where's Honduras? Central America? Well, anywhere, like anywhere outside. You ever drive anywhere outside of America? Particularly the Caribbean, forget it. It's it's just, it's, I don't know, it's like driving in Miami. So anyway, this poor girl has died in this automobile accident. I was thinking of TLC because this is going to sound probably incongruous, but I was a fan of theirs. Me, Phil. 6 foot, 49, 250 pounds, bald white guy. And I like their music. And when I was in Miami five years ago, one of them was down the hall at Hot 105. I worked at WIOD, and Hot 105 was in the same building. And it was T-Boz. It was the little blonde, and she was there. And I actually had my producer go out and grab her and bring her into the studio, and we did like an hour talking. And I had people calling, and they were talking to her about the group. And I said, this must be kind of a mind-blower for this guy like me to be a fan of your music. Do you have many rednecks who are into your music? And she answered. She says, you know, we did a gig in Nashville, and I had more guys in cowboy hats, cowboy boots, like 50-year-old guys with TLC albums coming up and asking me to autograph them. So you never know. And then the other thing about Lisa was that she allegedly burned down the house of her boyfriend. Now, her boyfriend was a wide receiver at the time of the Atlanta Falcons named Andre Rison. And I believe he went on to have a career with Green Bay and Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken. And you talk about a guy that, well, Andre was a lot of untapped potential, let me be kind. You know, he's very fleet of foot, good receiver when he wanted to be and when he didn't want to be. He was a really bad receiver. When he wanted to, he would catch footballs, and when he didn't want to, he wouldn't catch them. See, he was one of those guys. He could outrun just about any cornerback. He was a really, really talented guy. But because he'd dog it out there and cherry-pick on those pass routes, when his house got burned down, you were, well, that's really too bad. You didn't really shed too many tears, you know? Hey, Lisa, that's a good idea. You set fire to his house. She burned her boyfriend's house to the ground. Now, let me tell you something, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, it certainly is a breath of fresh air from the usual guy walks into the way, you know, business and, like, shoots all of her coworkers thing. There's a woman who took a little bit of life in her own hands and set fire to the guy's $10 million crib. Now, you got to say to yourself, that's empowerment. That's bring your daughter to work day taken to a very beautiful height, man. Just burn it down. Do you ever get afraid that the woman that you're with, because I don't know what your experience is, any of you guys, with women, but there were times, and, well, like one of them is now, the woman I'm married to right now, that I'm afraid she could do something that would really hurt me physically, so I don't even think about getting out of line at all. I'm like, Maria, there's a little bit in, I look at her, now go to the website, look at my wife's picture, tell me she doesn't look like a sweet, wonderful girl, but she's got a, there's a side to her that would sew me up in a sheet and set fire to the room, and I like that. There's a part there that just keeps you. In other words, you're never going to really do anything bad because it ain't that you're a nice guy. You just know she's going to sew you up in a sheet and set fire to the room. So why even chance it? And a friend of mine, his ex-wife, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Craig just said it makes sex dangerous, which is, if you're into that, I'm not into that, Craig, so thanks for that. But anyway, dangerous sex, what are you talking about? Like, you know, in other words, Craig really gets off, and she comes out of the bathroom with a straight razor while he's tied to the bed. That's, nothing is more thrilling than that. She comes out of the bathroom in a teddy with a straight razor, and he's tied with leather straps to the bed. That's what you want. No, I had a friend of mine, his ex-wife came into his apartment and razored up all of his furniture. I said, wow, to turn you on? Get out of here, man. You and her, you're both out of my life. Get out. I said, I know a guy named Craig Taylor. He'd be getting off on that in a minute. No, she came in straight, razored his furniture. It's nuts. I told a story, and I'm not, you know, I was a bachelor for 44 years, so I had a couple of girlfriends. I had one woman come into my apartment in Atlanta, and she wouldn't leave. She had showed up with her clothes. She thought she was moving in. I said, what are you doing? Oh, well, my clothes are out in the car, and so come on, Phil, let's settle this now. Come on, I'll just move in. And, oh, you're not moving in here. Oh, Phil, now, if there's one thing that I can't take, everybody's different in this world, but there's one thing that I don't like. It's being sort of minimized. It's having my feelings sort of, oh, come on. Hey, you know what you did? You took a straight razor to my penis. Stop it. Stop it? What do you mean, stop it? And she did this, oh, come on, Phil. I said, you're going to get out of here. Now, I've never been physically violent to a woman in my life, but I raised my hands up and I closed both of them in fists. And even when I did that, I knew that I wasn't going to do anything to her. What I did was I raised my hands up into fists, and I got so angry that I grabbed the shirt that I was wearing and ripped it off of my, you know, I can still hear the buttons hitting the hardwood floor as these buttons flew off my shirt. As I ripped it off of my back, I said, "Get out of here. Get out." Now I'm at the top of my lungs. Now I'm screaming, and I'm calling her every name in the book. And what is she laying back on me? "Oh, you'll feel better in the morning. Let me make you a drink." What are you talking about? What are you, nuts? Well, yeah, you are nuts. Good, great. I've just figured it out. You're nuts. You don't understand. Get out. "Do you have a bad day at work?" "Yeah, I'm having a bad day now. I didn't have a bad day tonight. Right now I'm having the bad day. You're giving me the bad day. You started the bad day. No, I was fine at work. Look, let me just move my clothes. You're not moving anything in here. You're going to get into your car. You're going to go down the driveway. You're going to go down that way to wherever it is you live. And you're going to go there. And you're never going to call me again. You're never going to bother me again." And, you know, you think, well, I'll call the cops. But it's not such an easy thing to do, because you're going to be ruining somebody's life. I mean, you could ruin their career, if nothing else. The word gets back, she got busted. What is her, where she works? What do they say? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you call the cops on somebody, it's a major, major thing that you're injecting into their life. I didn't really want to do that. Just get out of here. What am I going to do about it? If I physically grab her, now what does that mean? It makes me a bully. Makes me a slob and a woman abuser. So I'm not going to do that. She finally, I mean, I, you know, lights are going on next door. People can hear me yelling. Get out of my house. So she did, and then she set fire to it the next day. And good, because I had to move anyway. She didn't set fire to it. Quit getting serious on me. So if you're just joining us, it's what did your ex-wife or girlfriend do to your furniture after you threw her out? 1-800-449-8686. Yes, that number again. No, it is a goofy, kinky, you don't want to get involved in that at all. But that's what Lisa did to old Andre. Set fire to the cat's house. Now, I don't know where he's living right now, man, but I know he ain't pulling down any big fish with any football team, because that was back in the day. That's the early 90s when Andre Rison had... Actually, that was back when the Atlanta Falcons had a pretty good football team. They had Deion Sanders. They had Andre Rison. They had some pretty good, very good players on that team. I think they had a running back. I don't know if Jamal Anderson was one of them, but it was like, how did his team be so bad with such good talent? The Atlanta Falcons, forever and a day, one of the worst football teams in the history of the NFL. But, man, they were loaded in those days. And they had this guy, Jerry Glanville was their coach. And, you know, I don't even know why I'm talking about him. I went from a girlfriend that I couldn't get out of my apartment to Jerry Glanville. I think it's the memory is just, it's a horrible memory. I'm trying to just blot it out. So let me think of Jerry Glanville, Babe Ruth, and a lot of batting averages. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is John. Hi, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, I love your show.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I got to tell you what my girlfriend did after we broke up. This was in high school. We broke up. I left for college, and she stayed behind and made friends with my mom.
What an absolute witch.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It freaked me out.
That is horrifying.
My mom would call me and say, "Yeah, Diane was over here."
Forget about burning down your house, razoring up your... When she makes friends with a member of your family, you never get rid of her.
Yeah.
Now she's over at the barbecues and all the baby Christmas, everything.
Yeah, real creepy.
Oh, man. So what happened? You get back and there she is in the house. "Hi, John."
Yeah.
She's like, you know, she's grating cheese in the kitchen for the big family dinner.
Yeah.
With an apron on. Your mother showing you her pictures of you as a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a solid thing.
Yeah, my mom's got pictures of her as a baby, too.
There you go. So how long have you been married to this chick? Because you didn't get away, did you? Like you're married now and three kids later?
No.
What happened? Did you finally tell your mother? "Look, Mom, you're endangering my life here, Mom. You remember me, the one you gave birth to, the one that, you know, me. I'm going to die if you keep inviting this woman over and having her great cheese. Just no more." "Well, she's kind of nice." "No, she's not nice." "Oh, you're just overreacting. There you go again. No wonder I picked her. She's just like you." 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, you get to the point, some of these goofy people, they follow you, they stalk you, whatever. And you'd rather just turn around and kill them and spend the rest of your life in jail. I mean, you'd rather be in jail than have to have this crazy chick or this guy chasing you. I mean, because I just got a taste of it that night in the apartment when she wouldn't leave. But I could take it. I could sort of mentally extrapolate the situation to the point where, oh, my God, I'm going to kill you if you don't get out of here. I would rather be in jail right now. I would rather be on the yard. I would rather be, you know, initiated into rough jail sex 101 than have to sit here and listen to you much longer. And they just let some woman out. Did you read this in California or Ohio? I forget where it was. They just let some gal. No, it was in California. They just let her out. She was in for 10 years for killing her husband. And I think the governor of California, Gray Davis, said, hey, look, you know, they reviewed the case. She shot this guy because he was just beating on her, just brutalizing her. She finally said, you know what, I'll take my chances in the joint. This can't go on. Bye, pop. And she popped him and she went in. Now she's out. 1-800. Boy, that's a real uplifting little, hey, Phil, I love your show, man. Really love the highbrow comedy you do. Let's talk about killing our husbands, shall we? Well, it can be funny. Especially if you're driving to the San Joaquin Valley about 10 miles from Bakersfield, you pick up one of those country stations up there where they're playing the songs. About, I was driving through there one day. There's a guy on the radio. It's a country song. The guy's writing it from death row after he blew away his wife and best friend when he found the guy's truck in the driveway. And that was the song. Number one this week. So I blew them away on the driveway. And he's on death row. It's a great, great country music. People don't like. I love country music. A little known fact about Phil, I totally, totally dig country music. And the funkier and the hunkier and the more down home, the better. Because it's real and it's twangy and it's all that real funky Ricky Skaggs junk, you know, and that real hillbilly. Just, I love it, man. Because it's life. It's my life. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's John on the Phil Hendry Show. John?
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Phil, love your show.
Thank you.
What a great topic tonight. I can't tell you the aggravation and misery of what you're talking about has happened in some people's lives. Mine, for one, so I share that with you.
Really?
I had a young lady that I was dating for a while, and she wanted to move in, and I was really pushing her to say no, I didn't want to do this. She came over. We got intimate. Afterwards, she said she was moving in. Again, I said no, and I fought her on it. She went home. She took a broom handle. She did some pretty nasty stuff to the inside of her body, and then she went to the police and let them know that I told them that I had raped her.
And then they found out that your penis was made out of wood, and that'll get you every time.
Well, she did put a condom on the end of the broom handle so that there wasn't too much evidence, but it was very difficult. I had to go through lots of law attorneys, a lot of law fees, and I finally ended up beating her on a on
finally
a
polygraph. Wound up beating her.
Well, polygraph, yeah.
Yeah.
But I almost spent some time in jail because I just tried to get some woman to get out of my house.
So she,
that's pretty bad.
So she basically attacks herself with a broom handle and blames you. And
that's
they find
wood
splinters in her, huh?
Well, they didn't find any wood splinters.
They didn't find any wood splinters.
Because
okay.
she protected the handle with a condom. But,
all right, pal.
She hurt herself pretty bad, and then the police came to my house and said, you're under investigation for rape.
Wow.
And, let me tell you what, as a professional, that's not too good to hear.
That sucked when you're professional. All right, well, thanks for the call. That was Pinocchio calling, and I didn't know that happened to him. Jesus, they found wood splinters in her? Well, it's going to happen, Pinocchio. How's Geppetto? Wow. Just a sad thing, man. And I couldn't get my nose out of her, and I just got to tell you, I just kept lying. Yeah, okay, I got the jokes. Well, they're not jokes. They're real. It's actually happened. All the jokes came off of that. Which means we just keep lying, keep lying. Yeah, that really happened. Oh, I thought that was a joke. I heard it in a bar. No, you idiot. Pinocchio gets popped. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I was getting gas last night, and I was you know, standing there, just minding my own business, and a woman gets out of her car talking to herself, and I said, oh, that's sad. Look at her. She must be schizophrenic. And she's, oh, and I'm, did I tell you right now, and I told him I'm not going to go bond 5 points. I told him to get 5 points, and we can sign for the real estate commission alone. And I'm going, geez, look at that, sad. She's babbling and muttering and spit flying from her face, and then she's pumping gas while she's talking, you know. I'm like, what? Well, no. It's 5 acres, and it's a beautiful, beautiful view, and a little, all this stuff. I finally find out that she's talking on one of those earpiece things that hangs down. This is the new thing now. People have got their little Nokia phones, and then they plug in the earpiece, and the microphone just dangles from the end of the wire. I'm holding it right now. Just go to our website, and you won't see it. Go to our website. There won't be a cam there to show you. And people are walking around now with these things hanging out of their ears, talking like at the top of their lungs. And you want to say, naturally, of course, the question arose when cell phones first came about. Do we need to stay in touch with each other that badly, that much, that we have to have these things? But that forget it. Now, you know, yes, I guess the answer to that is yes, we do, because people have their cell phones. Now, how often do you got to be talking when you need to put the earpiece in and just, like, walk down the street? You can use your hand there. Like last night, I'll give you a classic example. Chris Pelton, my good friend and associate producer, is standing out in front of our building here at Premier Radio Network, Sherman Oaks, California. We're standing, chit-chatting, talking about sports, you know, ornithology and all of that stuff. Hellstrom Chronicles, you know, the study of insects, just minding our own business. Well, then I decided to call my wife, and I got one of those earpiece things. And I'm talking to my wife, and my hands are free, so I'm just talking, and Chris is standing there. He's smoking a cigar, and so it looks like we're talking to each other, and I'm wrapping up the phone call to my wife with the usual, okay, babe, I love you. Now, this lady is walking into the building, and she looks over at me like, well, look at the fag. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. That's not me. I didn't say it to him. Yeah, okay, sure, sucker. And she keeps on walking. She thought I was telling Pelton that I loved him, which I would never say that to Pelton in public, only behind closed doors. Anyway, that's one of the more embarrassing things. But it's, I don't know. You see, Maria bought me the thing, so I've got it, and I use it. And now I've got to the point where I just stick it in my ear and plug it into my phone when I'm driving to work. There's nobody calling. I just have it there ready to go in case anybody calls. And now I find myself, gee, I sure wish somebody would call. I could, like, use this earpiece thing that I got stuck in my ear. But nobody's calling. Now I get out of the car, and I still have it in my ear, and I'm walking around. How you doing, Phil? Great. What's that hanging out of your ear? Just in case somebody calls me, I got it right there. Oh, get it out of there, will you? Going out of the little coffee cart downstairs, hey, I'll take my latte, you know, and with the thing hanging out of my ear. You don't know if you're talking to the person making the coffee, if you're talking to somebody on the other end of the phone, you don't know what. So at some point, I think what's going to happen is people are not going to stop using cell phones. And remember the McDonald's drive-through, may I help you, sir, headsets? Those are a thing of the past, right? I don't see those anymore. That was too scary. That was very futuristic. Well, people thought they looked cool. In fact, they were on break from their gig for Jack in the Box. You work at Jack in the Box? No, I don't. I'm on the phone. Well, you look like the guy that took the order there. And by the way, my croissant, man, the cheese was melted out of the bag. Hello? Shut up. All right. Giving people crap about it. Well, now the phones will become so small that they will be implanted in your back tooth. And there'll be a remote switch that will be implanted in the palm of your hand. And all you'll have to do is just, you know, punch your hand, and then the phone will go on inside your head. And it just, you know. So whether you like it or not, you're just going to hear the phone ring if you've got friends. Although you talk to some guys in the nut house, they say that the CIA put that chip in there a long time ago. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Brian on the Phil Hendry Show. Brian?
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Fine.
You are a frickin' genius. Anyway,
sure.
Every time you talk about Craig's girlfriend in Japan,
mm-hmm.
I've got a crazy Japanese girlfriend story for you.
Right.
I was with this girl from Tokyo, and she punched me a couple of times, and before I beat her, I thought I better leave, so I didn't go to jail instead.
Okay.
So I didn't hit her.
I left.
She tore up everything. We lived together. She tore up everything. I'm not kidding. Everything. Ripped apart my books, tore apart my clothes, set stuff on fire. put it all in a dumpster. I had nothing when I came back.
All right, thanks, Mr. Risen, for calling. No, did she, was she from Japan?
She's from Japan, from Tokyo.
Well, you just have her shipped back.
You know, well,
have her
she
visa
went
room.
Back, but you know what? She took most of my stuff that was worth anything with her.
Well, look at it this way, man. She ripped up your stuff. We dropped an A-bomb.
You see what I'm saying?
It sort of it evens out. Yeah,
two
A-bombs.
You know,
yeah.
I'm sorry I had to pay the price.
Right, I hear you.
I should get some kind of government subsidy for that, right?
Well, why don't we have her come over and she can start ripping up everybody's house, and it'll pay a little bit back for that whole Nagasaki thing.
Yeah, well,
right.
You know.
All right, brother, thank you.
Have a good one.
All right, see you later. Bye. All right, 1-800, there was a guy, I don't know if it's true or not, but some guy walked into a bar in Tokyo with a couple of hand grenades and a machine gun or something. It was like years and years ago. And the first words out of his mouth were, I'm picking up where the A-bomb left off. He was some just psycho GI. Just a crazy, crazy army guy. His name was Douglas MacArthur. I am kidding, of course. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. I got to say I'm kidding after everything now because people are like, and then he did a voice pretending he was someone else, and now look what's going on. All right, don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get that Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Father's Day coming up. Mother's Day coming up. Birthdays, anniversaries. My birthday's coming up at the end of August. Somebody send me a shirt. This is the Phil Henry Show. Be right back.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I went home last night feeling guilty about all that stuff I said about Saudi Arabia. You know, you got to understand something. It doesn't make any difference to me one way or the other, all right? I just sound off on things that I see that you know, I'm emotional about. But I'm not going home and sweating it over Fox News. You know, I'm not in a basement somewhere on a ham radio talking to my friends who are digging caves in Montana for the ultimate Armageddon to come. I get these thoughts. Look, I got angry after 9/11. I don't know how many else, you guys listening, got angry to the point where you still sort of remember it, but I did. And I was saying all that stuff about roasting the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia on an open spit there in the Bush's backyard. And, you know, all right, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I really, you know, the president's there. He's hanging. He's breaking bread with a guy. He's trying to get things done. Cool, whatever the guy can do. Hey, whatever they can get done, you know, that whole Middle East thing with the Palestine, Israel, I hope they chill it out. I don't want to see anything bad happen. I just got this stinking hunch that, they ain't going to be able to do anything, that's all. It's like buying a lottery ticket with a friend of yours, okay? You want to believe the guy's going to split the winnings with you, but fact of the matter is he's going to hire a lawyer. And if you think I'm kidding, it's happening. You know that $330 million big Powerball that they had last week? Guess what? A group of co-workers and another guy, and they've hired two lawyers, and now they're going to sue, and what is a very good question. Why would you buy a lottery ticket with your co-workers when you know that's going to happen? You know that that's going to happen. Phil, I'm sure there have been times when people have split. Oh, really? Tell me the last time there was a $300 million jackpot that somebody split. What do you mean you're sure there's times when it happened? When? When do they have big jackpots, and when do groups of friends win it? It's always like one person. So guess what happens here? This guy, I don't know who the guy is. They send one guy out to buy the ticket. And he's buying the ticket for 20 other people. So he's holding the ticket. And when he wins, he goes to validate the ticket, and he gives his name. And the other 20 people go, what happened to our share? I thought you promised. Oh, well, I don't think I did promise. I think that I own the ticket. Now they got to hire lawyers. By the time they get this thing sorted out, all $330 million going to go to these lawyers. I couldn't help but take that shot. I don't really believe it. I'm sure a fair amount. I know on a contingency, one-third, maybe in this case, one-half. After taxes, $150 million, one-half, $75 million. That'll leave you guys with a cool $5 million. Hey, Phil, yeah, you want to buy a lottery ticket? Yeah, okay, what? I can't get it. Oh, I'll buy it. Oh, all right. Well, here's my... No, I'll pick up the... Oh, okay, go ahead. You're going to buy it for me? I'll reimburse you when you come back. Sure, no problem. 2 weeks later, hey, we won. No, well, who's we? I have the ticket. No, but I'm going to give you the money. No, I don't want your money now. What do you mean you don't want my money? You promised. No, I don't recall that I did. You promised. You have witnesses? Well, I mean, I don't know if I have witnesses. What are you going to be? I thought we were friends. Oh, well, you thought we were friends. Never go into business with a friend. Never go into business with a family member. Not because they're crooked. Not because they're bad. It's just that they don't feel they have to pay you back because you're a friend and a family member. That's all. You ever lent money to a brother or a sister or an uncle or a cousin or a step cousin? And they say, oh, yeah, you give them the bread. They don't feel like they have to pay it back because they know you. What are you going to do? The guy's your brother. Was he going to take you to court? And if you do take your own brother to court, what kind of a schmuck's that make you look like? Same thing goes with with friends. You want to lose a friendship? Go ahead and go into business with a friend. Go start yourself a brewery with a buddy. Or go out in that really great idea you guys had when you were cruising around, tooling around town. You're going to open a body shop or a speed shop or a porno bookstore. You got a great idea for a steakhouse. The two of you guys are going to go in together. Somebody sooner or later is going to wind up screwing somebody else. What was I reading in the paper the other day? This Ovitz and Eisner, remember these two guys? Eisner runs Disney and Ovitz was a super agent. Apparently these guys were friends. Not no more. That guy Ovitz went to work for Eisner at Disney. He wound up kicking his ass out the door. Although he did give him a $100 million, what do they call it, a golden parachute? It's like a $100 million golden shower. That ain't bad. Arthur, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, Arthur?
Pretty good. Big fan. Hey, I got a horror story for my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend?
My ex-girlfriend.
Your girlfriend's
back
a horror story?
Yeah, it's a horror story.
Come on, you guys call up on all these stories from high school. Have you got anything current?
No, sorry. Right. Well, I actually got out of high school a couple of years ago.
It's fairly current.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyways, we broke up one night at one of her friend's houses, and she got really upset, stole the keys of my car, and took off in my car. She had the door open, and I was trailing the car, and I, finally caught up to her, and I was like, stop the car.
She drunk?
No, actually, she was sober. Which was not too often. But anyways, she slammed on the brakes, and I went face first into the edge of the car and fell flat on my back and hit my head on the concrete. I wasn't bleeding or anything, but I was so, so angry. I told her, look, I clenched my fist and I just said, get out of the car.
Yeah.
I just said, get out of the car right now. And as she sobbed and cried or whatever, she slowly stepped out of the car. And I tried to pull my door closed, and it was jammed. It would not shut. So I had to, forcefully just kick it in. And then whenever it closed, I tried to open it again, and it wouldn't open. So I ended up with a $300 damage to my door, and no, she never paid me.
Every time you tried to open that door, it reminded you of her.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm lucky I wrecked the car. I completely got rid of the car, and it was a horror. It was
I had
horrible.
A woman try to take off one night on me drunk, and she was going to take off, and it wasn't my car, it was her car, but she was just absolutely slobbering drunk. And I knew the minute she got 100 yards down the road, she's going to run into somebody. She's going to kill somebody. Try talking a drunk person out from behind the wheel of a car. It is an impossible task. If it's a woman, it's one thing. Try talking one of your friends from getting out from behind the wheel of a car when he's like 6'5", 280 or something. Come on, Eddie. No, I'm fine. All right, man. Just drive it straight ahead, baby. There's a cliff. It's about 100 feet down. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.